And it's 22 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock. Daniel?
Brad, Dr. Lewis Andrews is president of the Children's Educational Opportunity Foundation of Connecticut, also involved with the Yankee Institute for Public Policy, once head of that institute. Dr. Andrews and Dr. Martin Lucan, director of fiscal policy and analysis at EdChoice, have authored a study, Education Savings Accounts, Empowering Kids and Saving Money in Connecticut. And Dr. Andrews is in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair this morning. Dr. Andrews, good morning. Welcome to Brad and Dan.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Nice to have you here.
Yeah, Doctor, this is interesting. What are education savings accounts?
Well, education savings accounts are something that got started in Arizona in 2011. They're now in legal in five other states, so you got them in six states. Including Florida, and what they are simply is that if you send your child to public school, the local public school, and you're not satisfied with the way your child's being educated, you can get an account set up at a local bank or approved institution with 90% of the per pupil cost of the local public school. And you can use that money to provide your child with an alternative education, private or parochial school, online education, online charter school, homeschooling. And it's something that's become very popular in the six states where it's been approved.
Doctor, you know, we here in the United States believe in competition.
Mm-hmm.
Why shouldn't this be in every state?
Well, that's a very interesting question. It's not only good for the kid because it's competition, but because you can offer a quality education at a discount to the per pupil cost of the local public school, it's a considerable tax savings. What Marty and I did in our study on education savings accounts is we hypothesized a very modest program for Connecticut. We said that if 5 to 10% of the students in Connecticut, their parents voluntarily decided to do this. There's no coercion here. If you're happy in your local school, you can stay there. But if 5 to 10% of the parents felt, you know, I could do a better job of managing my child's education, and you gave them a $10,000 deposit every year to an approved account that they could use to on private school, parochial school, whatever, how much could the state of Connecticut save? And the figures are stunning. If you remember, Daniel Malloy, Governor Malloy, shocked everyone earlier this year with his idea of taxing the towns $400 billion to help make the pensions for the teachers solvent. You could save that much money just by allowing 5 to 10% of the parents in Connecticut to run their own child's education, and you wouldn't have to raise taxes at all.
Say this again.
Wow.
Could you repeat that so Connecticut could hear it?
Let me give you a more precise figure. If you I'll try to be clear, if you gave 5 to 10% of the parents in Connecticut the option to educate their own child using money provided by the public school district, but at a fraction of the local per pupil, you could save enough money to adequately fund the teacher pension plan without ever having to raise taxes.
Wow. Wow.
Well, what has to be done in order to bring about education savings accounts here in Connecticut?
You just have to have a law saying that they're legal. In fact, in terms constitutionally, Connecticut is one of the best states to do something like this. Some states have clauses in their constitutions that were passed 100, 150 years ago when there was some anti-Catholic prejudice in America, and people were afraid of having public money be used at parochial schools, Catholic parochial schools. But Connecticut has a very clean constitution. All you need is to get it passed.
You know, you mean to tell me that if somebody brings up a bill like this, I mean, you just said what it would do for all of us here in Connecticut, but more importantly, the students.
It's good for kids. It's good for the budget. It's good for the taxpayers. And what we did in our study, which I think your listeners might find interesting, is we looked at, we were quite thorough. We looked at every town in Connecticut. There's a chart in the back of the study, and you can see your own town, and you can see how much money your town would save if 5 to 10% of the students were allowed voluntarily to choose an alternative education.
How do our listeners get a copy of that particular situation that you just mentioned?
Very easily. Go on the internet and go to yankeeinstitute.org, yankeeinstitute.org, and in the upper right-hand corner, there is a button that says Policy Research. And if you click on that button, it's the believe it's the top study that comes up. And it's very easy to read. And if you go to the end of the study, you will see a couple of pages of charts that list every school district in the state of Connecticut and shows how much money the taxpayers would save, and the state, because as you know, the state does some supplemental funding of the towns. So it shows how much money the taxpayers and the local towns would save, the property taxpayers, and the state would save if 5 or 10% of the students who are getting education savings accounts.
Dr. Andrews, as you know, Judge Thomas McCosher's ruling about a year or so ago really sent the public school landscape into a tizzy in Connecticut. So how would this address the Connecticut Coalition for Justice in Education's suit against REL, CCJEFV REL?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up, because that's the other, we thought, Marty and I thought, the neat part of our study. What the judge seemed to be particularly interested in when he ruled that Connecticut needed to rework its school system was kids with learning disabilities. He felt that the public schools, in particular in cities, were not really doing the best job of helping kids, you know, who might have Asperger's or ADHD or some other learning disability. And our program really empowers parents to take money that has been allocated for the funding of their child and come up with an alternative way of educating their child. And in fact, in the six states where education savings accounts started, in four of them, it started as a way to help kids with learning disabilities. Those were the families that were originally eligible to use education savings accounts. And now in Arizona and Nevada, it's expanded to be available legally to all families.
Dr. Andrews, we're out of time. Thanks very much for educating our audience.
Yes, and for educating us as well.
Great talking with you guys.
Thank you.
We'll
great talking
again.
With you.
You bet.
8:30 in the morning.